celebrate. We're going to celebrate being here and spend some time right after worship service eating together, playing together. It's going to be a great time. So plan for that June 14th. That's two Sundays away. And we know that you'll be glad that you did. All right. One other thing. This Tuesday, we've got our first brand new nice chairs coming in for the shack. We're going to have some beautiful, nice, thick, padded chairs. They're like restaurant chairs, only they're thicker. You like thick, don't you? We'll be able to use those for overflow in here as we start growing. But that'll definitely get us what we need out in the shack for us to be able to have dinners and our kids' church and everything. It's going to be really nice. And thank you again for those of you who continue to give and make that happen. May God bless you. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to speak your word today. The great privilege that we have of being in this house. Some of the great sermons that have been preached from this pulpit area. Thank you for the privilege of being here today. And God, we ask you to move in this house. Not just this physical house, but more importantly, the houses that are here, the people that are here, the house of God is inside of us. So as we learn about this today, I ask you, Father, to strike our hearts and encourage us, speak to us, and God, heal us and make us whole in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I also want to pray for what's going on in our community. If you would, just let me open with a statement about the murder of George Floyd by a commissioned police officer. It's a horrible, horrible thing. We need to be reminded of how God sees these things, and we're going to pray for this. Lean not on our own understanding. Our hearts broke when we saw the video this week of his last breaths and his plea for mercy. And may God help us if we go silent about this. But may he also give us wisdom to speak to it. Freedom and justice for all is the American way. And that's what we want for all. No matter what the skin color is. No matter what your social background is. No matter what kind of influence you have in our society. And I want to speak to you as the pastor of this church. That I condemn the action of the officers who murdered George Floyd. But I also condemn the unpeaceful and self-gratifying reactions by those that are destroying the lives of many others and others' businesses in our cities. There was a man who tried to defend his own business last night here in Dallas, from what I understand. He's in the hospital today. Horribly beaten. And I saw on Facebook where this was okay by some. We cannot let this divide us. We cannot let it divide our church family. If you bring the color of your skin into this church family, you got a problem with me. No matter what color you are. Because we don't see it here. We see that you're a different color, and I see that I'm a different color than you, but you know, we love you and we respect you and we want you to be a part of this church family, no matter where you came from, no matter what you've done. And certainly understand that we're all one race. We're all one race. God has promised justice for all. He will serve justice to those who murder, and he will serve justice also to those who are destroying. I don't want to be a part of either one of those groups. Let's pray for our community. Father, we understand that there are those who would destroy, those who murder. And the truth of the matter is, we all have hearts that are divisive and deceptive. And so today, we as a church, we're going to pray tonight especially. But we pray today and we ask that you would let your light shine in our cities, that God, your message of hope and love, and that you will bring justice to all, will ring true and clear in the hearts all across this nation. That, Father, confusion and rioting would stop. And that, Father, we would do our part as a church family to learn how to raise our kids, to teach one another how to raise our kids. That the purpose of God would be so strong and clear and resonant through at least our church, that our kids would not grow up confused and angry and frustrated with society, that they have a greater purpose through the kingdom of God than going out and trying to make a ruckus. We pray for the family of George Floyd. And we pray, Father, that the memory of this man's life would be far more than the rioting. And that, God, you would give wisdom to our leadership, to our president, and to our community leaders. Give them wisdom. In Jesus' name, we ask you and believe you for it. And thank you, Father. God, I ask you that you would help truth to begin to be restored, that we as a community would even know who to listen to anymore. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, now we can get on to stuff that's just right here. How's that sound? Y'all ready? Good. Today I want to talk with you about It's Moving Day. It's Moving Day. I've been doing full-time ministry since I graduated from college now for 27 years. Yes, I know that dates me. That makes me look a lot younger than I really am, right? I've heard thousands of stories about all the things that humans go through in life, especially as a chaplain. I'm out and about every day, and I listen to people's stories, what's going on in their lives, what's going on in their families, and their marriages, and parenting. And if I could wrap up all of our life struggles into two simple things, it would be this. We struggle through our adult life because of these two things. One, what we did when we were young. Amen. And two, who we chose to live with. It can all be summarized in those two things. Spiritually speaking, the Bible addresses both of these in a big way. The entire book of Ecclesiastes, if you've not read through that book, go read it and read it from this perspective. It's really interesting because what we have is a guy, Solomon, the king of Israel, has been given a great abundance of wisdom by God. Not just wisdom, but he's also been given a huge amount of money. His wisdom, he made a huge amount of money, and he was probably one of the wealthiest people that ever lived, if not the wealthiest, wisest, richest. And the scripture talks about how he started using that wisdom and all of his funds to begin to find what was worthwhile doing while living under the sun. In other words, while living this daily life, what's worth doing on this earth? And so the next 11 chapters, he goes through all of the things that he tried using his money for, and his wisdom, his great intelligence, his ability to think, and his ability to create. He built beautiful vineyards. He had everything that he wanted, all kinds of food and women, and you can imagine the kind of stuff that this guy tried to try to figure out what's worthwhile doing while living under the sun. And he wrote it all down, and he came to the conclusion of this. He started the book with this: meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. How many of you have ever felt that way in life? Especially as you sit there late at night and you watch people just writing for no reason, blowing up businesses that they don't even know what it took for those people to have, you know? Meaningless. When you see an officer kill somebody for no reason, it's easy for us to go down this path of meaningless, meaningless. Nothing matters. And he spells out his search throughout this book, and he comes to chapter 12, verse 1, and he starts that chapter with this. And he screams out to our young people, and he says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. He says, if you get one thing right in this life, do that. What is he saying? Don't mess up in your childhood, in your young ages. Don't do stupid stuff. So the majority of the problems that I help adults through these days, it's funny how it always stems back to the stuff that they did when they were kids. The first big decision that you will make or made that impacts your happiness level as an adult is what you did when you were young. The second impactful decision for a happy adulthood that you've made is who you chose to live with or who you will choose to live with. Now, in the book of Exodus, God has given the people directions on building the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was a big tent, basically, that was a portable church. Boy, we know all about being a portable church. What was it Colette called it? Trailer church. We were a trailer church. It was hot out one day. We were loading up the trailer, and she said, man, this is not a good day to be a trailer church. Well, God was giving them instructions to make a portable house for him, to live with him, and where the people could make sacrifices for their sins, and they could come worship him. And God made a decision at that time to live with them. Listen, these weren't great people. These weren't some group of wonderful, nice, and people that just walked around like Whoville. That's not what this was. These people didn't deserve God to live with them like we do. Y'all know I'm being facetious. So let's just say, from a human perspective, this was not the greatest decision of God's life. He chose to go live with them. Why? Moses had to talk him into it. Moses talked him into it, and God listened to him. And God knew this was going to happen because, in fact, many years later, God ended up having to divorce them and leave because they were so unfaithful. But you see, we have to look at the bigger picture to understand what God was doing and why he did this in the first place. Why did he move in with them in the first place? Well, many years ago, when Noah disembarked the ark, God made a promise to him that he would not flood the earth again and destroy everybody. What he was saying, in essence, was, I'm going to be more involved in this world, in this earth, so that this does not have to happen again. I'm going to participate at a level that I'm not going to have to destroy the world again. I'm not going to have to destroy everybody again. So he started that process through Abraham, and he made a promise to this man named Abraham. He said, hey, listen, I'm going to make you a great nation. Your offspring, there will be as many as the stars in the sky or the sand on the seashore. And he made this promise to Abraham. And so he started there with Abraham. And God, you think about this, God could look forward thousands of years later and see in AD 2020 that millions of people would be loving him and inviting him into their lives because they want to. Not because they're forced to, but because they want to. That they would be showing up at a church for a worship service and worshiping together and building together and growing together and doing wonderful things together. God could look forward and see that because of what he started way back then. That he was willing to move in with Israel to figure that out and to make that happen. It's a beautiful story. And he's got it today. He's got people who love him with all of our hearts, who choose to live with him. So he made that commitment to Israel, and he was going to move in with them, knowing it wasn't going to work out with them. But God gave it his best, don't you know it? God communicated what he needed to communicate. He tried to help them. He did amazing things in their lives. He did his best. So here it is, moving day. The Israelites had been working on the mobile tabernacle for 6 months. Now, they're about a year, they're right at a year out of Egypt. And for 6 months, God had been giving them the instructions of how to build this tabernacle, all of the utensils and things in there. He gave them gifts and talents to be able to do that. It's a great story. They created furniture with gold. They created the Ark of the Covenant. They made that. God gave them the great talent and ability to make this beautiful thing. The curtains. And God instructed Moses. He said, look, it's moving day. Who was moving? God was. It was the first day of the second year. They'd already been a year into it, out of Egypt. The first day of the second year, a new beginning, a fresh outlook, a fresh start. Things were looking good on the horizon. God is moving in. Moses had them move the Ark of the Covenant in. You can imagine, they put the tabernacle together. They moved in the Ark of the Covenant for the first time. The stone tablets were put inside the Ark of the Covenant and a few more things. They brought in the table, the lampstand and its lamps, the gold altar of incense, and installed the curtains that would separate the different rooms throughout the tabernacle. Then they brought in the altar of burnt offering and the water basin and the utensils for their worship. They brought in all the stuff, and you guys can imagine this. This is what we've been doing for the last 3 weeks, bringing it all in, getting ready for us to be able to worship together and to make this our home and make this a place where we can spend time with God. And then, one of the best parts, they brought in freshly baked bread. We haven't done that yet. But you can imagine the smell as that aroma filled the tabernacle for the first time, freshly baked bread. And it says, then Moses set up the courtyard around the tabernacle and altar, and he put up the curtain at the entrance of the courtyard. And so Moses finished the work. Then the cloud, this is beautiful. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Can you visualize that? The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The whole thing. Every nook and cranny. The cloud came down, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. God moved in. They could see it. They knew it. It was a beautiful moment. And it says Moses couldn't even enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it and the glory of the Lord had filled the tabernacle. You see, letting God move in was the best decision these people ever made. God protected them. God fought wars for them. God gave them direction. He watched over them. He provided food for them. Their sandals didn't wear out all of the time that they walked through the desert and through the wilderness. It was amazing. And today, 2,000 years later, these people are back in Jerusalem, the same land that God gave them so many years ago. 2,000 years ago, it's been since they've had Jerusalem as the capital city of Israel. And here it is today. It's just an amazing story. But this is how it began. God moved in to the tabernacle to be with him. Have you ever tried to live with somebody that wasn't even trying to love? It's not good, is it? Living with somebody that's doing their own thing, they don't care about your rules, they don't care what you think, it's tough. When I was a kid, I remember a time that my parents let my uncle and his wife move in for about a year. His wife was sneaky and mean. Her name was Scary Terry. I'm sure she was born with that name. Actually, I gave it to her. I don't know that my parents knew that. She's Scary Terry. This was around the time that my mom was having brain surgery, and she had a lot of physical issues. And nobody, Dad was working a lot, and her husband was working a lot, and nobody knew how mean this woman was. Had no idea what she was doing. She was sneaky. Saturday mornings in the 70s was the best morning of the week. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Looney Tunes. I'm not talking about the kind of Looney Tunes they have today. I'm talking about the real Looney Tunes. And we would get up on Saturday mornings and we couldn't wait to watch Looney Tunes. But Scary Terry wanted to sleep in on Saturday morning, like she did every other day of the week. And so we didn't want to wake that monster, and the only way that we could watch Looney Tunes was make a choice. We're either going to get so close to the TV where we can hear it, or we're just going to watch it and hope we can figure out what they're doing. We had to be so quiet. It was horrible. She would lock us in the basement once she got up because she didn't want to be around us. She'd lock us in the basement. And then when my mom would get up, and she'd be like, "Where are the kids?" "Oh, they're playing in the basement." She'd come over and she'd unlock the basement. And as my mom began to recover, she started getting back into the swing of things and life. And one time, Mom bought us a box of Ding Dongs, and Scary Terry ate that whole stinking box of Ding Dongs. She ate the whole thing. When I got out of the basement, I went over to see if they were there, and they were gone, and I knew it was her. To this day, it probably was my dad, but we'll give it to Scary Terry. When Mom figured out what was happening, you think what happened in Dallas was bad last night? When she found out that her kids were being used and abused, let's just say justice was served and Scary Terry got scared. It was moving day. When you were young, some of you made decisions to live with somebody, and it did not turn out good. You were running from your parents, or you put blinders on and pretended that you didn't see the issues that were there, and it wasn't long before you realized, "Oh, I've stepped out of the pot into the frying pan." My dad decided that the army would be a lot less restrictive than living with his father. He jumped out of the pot into the frying pan, and he knew it as soon as he got off that bus chewing gum. Living with people is difficult even when they're trying to love. You don't have to wait for me to do this. You know that. But we all know at some level of what it's like to live with somebody that's not even trying to love. Now let me be clear. I'm not telling you that you have the right to go home and pack up if you're still living with that mistake. Everybody hear me? I need 100% amen on that. God does not give you permission to leave your spouse if they're living peaceably with you. In fact, Scripture says that maybe Jesus coming into your life would allow them to see Christ in your life and the true love of God through you so that they would come to Christ and be repentant. He says that it's one thing if you're being abused or they're being unfaithful or if they abandon you, but what God wants is for you to let Him move inside of you so that you can become Him to that person in your life. 1 Corinthians 7:13, look it up. It's a beautiful scripture. Here's the bottom line. Before you change anything else in your life, start with this. Let God move in. Before you start pushing anybody out of your life, Let God move into your life. It might just be what brings correction to everything else. And I echo Solomon to our young people when he said, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Don't make the same mistakes I made, he says. Don't make the mistakes everyone else is making. Because your young days, your youthful days, are the days that are setting you up for success or failure, happiness or unhappiness. Don't make those mistakes. Find God when you're young. Some of you decided to invite God in and let him live with you a long time ago. How many of you have done that? You invited him in a long time ago into your life. It was the greatest decision you ever made in your life, wasn't it? Think about how much heartache and failure you missed out on. Think about how much difficulty you've missed out on. You think you've had a tough life with Christ? Imagine what it would be like without him. Think of how much pain you haven't experienced because you let God move in to your life a long time ago. You see, moving in with God, though, means relationship. It means a working, growing relationship. Moving in with God or letting him move into your life means a working, growing relationship. It's not a one-time decision that you'll never notice that he's in the back room. God uses the bathroom. Now you understand I'm proverbially speaking here. He uses the kitchen. He comes out and sits in the den where the TV is. And he's there with you all the time because he lives inside of you when you invite him in. The scripture says, and this is how the book of Exodus closes out. We've been going through the book of Genesis and now we're finishing Exodus today. And God's glory was there, physically there, day and night, so that the people could see it. In the daytime, he was there in a cloud form. And at night, there was a beautiful light inside that cloud. And the people could see it. And it says this, in all the travels of the Israelites, whenever the cloud lifted from above the tabernacle, they would set out. But if the cloud did not lift, they did not set out until the day it lifted. What is he saying? God could choose at any given moment in time when they needed to move, when they needed to pick up camp. Now imagine with me that these people, they finally get settled. They're okay, man, maybe hopefully we'll stay in this spot for a while. 3 weeks comes by, they wake up and they walk outside of their tents and they look, and there's the cloud way up in the air. And they're like, oh, it's moving day. We got to pack again. Honey, get up. We got to go. At any given moment, God would mandate that. Why? Only he knew why. Often it was probably for their own protection, to make sure that they were moving, to make sure that they were getting where they needed to go. Here's the problem with living with God. It was true then and it's true now. It seems like having a loving and living God is going to be wonderful. It's going to be fun. It's going to be perfect. And it is. But the bottom line is this. Here's the problem. Because he's always right and because he will never sign off on anything wrong, God doesn't always tell you what you want to hear. But he does tell you what you need to hear. One of the things that makes my marriage work is Angela and I tell each other the things we don't want to hear. No, we don't have the money to buy that right now. No, that's not the way we're going to handle this situation. We tell each other what each other needs to hear. No, you need to reroute your thinking. Guess who's saying that one? Angela. One of the most difficult moments in our marriage in the last 27 years was when I first started sensing a call to leave the church that we were at and to start a church. I began praying about it. It was something that seemed to really grip me inside. It was a call. I was being groomed to be the pastor of a larger church in Oklahoma City. And yet God was taking me away from that. I had no heart anymore to take over that church. God was starting to do this in my life. began praying about St. Louis, going back home. And it seemed like, man, doors started opening. I started communicating with the people in the denomination that we were in. They were excited and welcoming to us. Started communicating with some friends that I grew up with. Some of them weren't in church, but they were happy to hear maybe we'd start something. Seemed like doors were opening. So I came home from the office one day and I said, honey, this is what happened today. And I was excited, man. This is great. They want me to do this and this, and we're going to meet and do this, and man, this is great. And it had been a few weeks that we'd been praying about this. And she said, John, we need to sit down and we need to talk. And she told me one of the hardest things I've ever heard in my life. With tears in her eyes, she had the boldness to tell me, I've been praying about this. I don't know what it is, but this isn't it. You want to talk about marital conflict? Because you understand, you're not just talking about ideas. You're talking about me being able to hear from God and lead my family. Because I'm the man of God. You understand? And to be able to love her and listen, it was tough. And I ask you today, what if I hadn't listened? What if my pride had gotten in the way? Have we seen everything God has brought us here for come to pass? I don't think so. But I can tell you there are things that have happened in the last 15 years that I am so beyond grateful. The way God led us. He didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. He told me what I needed to hear. And it happened to be through my wife. Now, why couldn't he tell me that myself? I don't know. Wanted to be next to my parents. Sure has worked out for that, hasn't it? I wanted my kids to grow up and love Jesus and love the church that they're in. That sure has happened. I wanted to see people that didn't really connect with God throughout their life find a place where they could freely do that. A place where there were no holes in our theology. I got to be honest with you. I can't find, and I'm a very analytical person when it comes to theology. I'm at a place in my life where I just don't have any holes in our theology. It all makes sense to me. I'm not confused. If you're confused, let's have lunch. We'll figure it out. I wanted a place where people could ask any question about God. And even if I don't know the answer, that we explore it together. You see, staying together means you won't harden your heart to keep you from hearing and saying the hard things. Staying together means you won't harden your heart to keep you from hearing and saying the hard things. And if I can't hear it from my wife, then I cannot hear it from God. If my wife cannot hear it from me, she cannot hear it from God. Now you understand, we live out our life with God, with each other. Whatever I struggle with you, I'm struggling with it with Him. It's the same thing with God. God is never going to sign off on anything in your life that is not healthy, that's not good, and that's not for His purpose in your life. He's never going to say a lifestyle is good if it's not healthy. He's never going to do that. What if He said that kind of lifestyle is okay for you and it kills you or it destroys you or you don't get your purpose in life accomplished? You're going to come back to Him and say, why did you sign off on that? Do you hate me? No, God loves us. That's why he won't sign off on it. God is never going to give you a pass for anything that's unhealthy. He's going to always say the things you don't want to hear. Why? Because he loves you. And when you invite him to live inside of you, God moves into every part of your body, just like he moved into the tabernacle that day. And he's going to only sign off on what's good, healthy, and wonderful for you. This is why so many people hate him. Why so many people spend billions of dollars coming up with another story that explains how we got here without God. Because they don't want to listen to him. They don't want to hear the things they don't want to hear. Now, at the same time, we got to understand God's not a nagging God. Aren't you glad for that? God chooses his communication battles with us. He's not going to nitpick you. You're not going to hear him say, nope, stop. Don't do that. He's not going to be that kind of a person in your life. God communicates what he likes and he dislikes, and he's already done that in his book. And you can find what he likes and doesn't like. You can research what he likes and doesn't like. You can find what he says is a healthy lifestyle. You can find even how to eat if you want to in the Bible. As long as you don't worship it and make it part of a ritualistic thing, he's fine with it. God wants you to know how to eat. He wants you to know how to be healthy. He wants us to know how to grow a healthy community, successful businesses. God has put all of that into the Bible. A healthy family, how to conduct ourselves. He's put it all in there if you want to find it. He says, I'll sign off on health every day of the week. It's up to you to seek out and find. I'm not going to nag you. Imagine if God were like, hey, what are you doing over there? Hey, stop. Where are you going? Hey, get your head screwed on straight. What's wrong with you? What if God was like that every day in your head? He'll remind us along the way. He'll direct us along the way, but he's not going to nag you. He lives with you and wants a peaceful, loving relationship with you. And here's the beauty of it. God wants to live with you. He wants to move in with you. Not so he can nag you. Not so that he can hammer you. He wants a relationship with you. 2 Corinthians 6, for we are the temple of the living God. James David. As God has said, you see that? The tabernacle eventually became the temple. Paul says, for we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God. Listen how personal that is. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will live with them. He says, I'll move right in with them. I'll live with them. And walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. How personal is that? They'll be my people. I want to be part of God's people. I want to belong to him. I want him to look at me and say, that's my son. Therefore, come out from them and be separate. Touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you. And you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So here's how this works. All the ceremonies and rituals have been done. All the work has been done for God to move in. You are the temple. And all the work has been done for God to move into the temple. But know this, when you invite him in to live with you, the rest of your life is going to be an adventure of learning who he is, what he likes and what he doesn't like. and accommodating for Him to live in you. But all the work has been done. All He's got to do is move in. And that comes with your invitation. For some of you, it's moving day for God. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, He said, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with that person, and they with me." Man, isn't that beautiful? Anyone. That means you. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. If you let Him move into your life today, here's what He has for you. He says, "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you?" He's building a home up there. "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." He says, "If you invite me in here, I'll invite you in up there." Isn't that awesome? God's building a home. But until then, the temporary tabernacle, the temple, is inside of you. He wants to move in. And if God was willing to move in some tent, don't you know He's willing to move inside of you? Isn't that beautiful? Would you bow your heads? Some of you are struggling in your relationships. This series, Tips for Staying Together, you need to understand these are things that you must apply. And the very first thing that needs to happen for you to have a successful marriage, for you to have a successful relationship with your kids or your parents, the very first thing that needs to happen is you decide that you're going to live with God. Who you live with determines your happiness. The first invitation that must be done is let God move in. So right where you are, maybe you're at your home, or maybe you're here, invite Him in. And let His glory fill the temple. Every nook and cranny of your life, holding nothing back, let Him in. Don't be afraid to let Him see those dirty places. God knows it's there, and He wants to move in anyway. God knows where you've been, and He wants to be there too, with you. God, we invite You into our lives in a fresh and new way. Even those of us who have invited You in years ago, today we just want to make sure that You know every part of our lives, every part of our body and soul and mind belongs to You. So we invite You to come in and speak to us and encourage us and at the same time correct us and keep us on the right path. God, maybe there's someone here that has a hardened heart. They don't want to hear what You like and don't like. They don't want to hear what's good for them. I pray today that at least this would be a chisel to begin cutting into that stone. to open their heart, to understand that you just love them. And you're never going to sign off on the bad. You want them to progress and be strong and healthy and to live eternally with you. We invite you in. Thank you for moving into our lives. And God, now I pray for our homes. Father, we would apply the same principles in our homes. God, we would accommodate for each other. We would listen to each other. That we would be the best at marriage. We'd be the best parents. We'd be the best kids. That God, we know good things are in store for those who obey you and love you. That Father, good things happen to those who do things your way. We embrace that lifestyle. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Trust the Lord is doing a work in your life. Feels good to know that He's moved in, doesn't it? Tonight, we're going to be praying especially that, man, may the glory of the Lord fall on this house that the community would be able to see. Amen? Amen. Those of you who are online, thank you for joining us today. May God bless you and show up as soon as you can. All right?